You're listening to Rambling Business, the only multimedia podcast with Rick and Brandon,
where we get into your business no matter where it is.
And today we'll be talking about how to time an area's economic recovery when starting a business. Rambling Business continues our series at the historical town of Vallejo, California, just north of San Francisco.
For those of you on the East Coast.
Yeah, exactly. The San Francisco area.
Yes.
Which is the middle top part of California.
Which is the bay that would be like the back of the head of the mermaid.
It's where George Takei was from in that Star Trek movie.
Oh, really?
Was he the one with the whales?
Yeah, yeah.
They fly to San Francisco, which is where, you know.
It was Sulu, right?
Sulu, yeah.
Yeah, he was from Vallejo? Sulu.
He was from San Francisco. San Francisco. I was born there.
Oh, okay.
Which was a nod to his orientation in real life. Rambling Business continues in Vallejo to talk to the historical area's pharmacist, Arthur Metu of Capital City Pharmacy, which is sort of, you know, the anchor of a lot of small communities.
Yes.
Check out how Arthur strategically timed the local economy and figured out what was going on before launching his independent pharmacy. Of course, stay tuned for our tax tales and business takeaways coming up.
Arthur Metu started his studies in Nigeria and England. But surprisingly, it was in engineering.
Okay.
And so,
well, pharmacy is sort of engineering the architecture of the mind.
Ah, maybe.
And body.
Well, you know, people that I met that have engineering backgrounds, even studies, and I think differently.
Yeah.
You know, and they actually apply a lot of that concepts of their brain into what they're doing.
So very scientific or you know, ordered mindset.
It's like deductive logic, going A, B, C, you know, just working your way through things. But he changed his major to pharmaceutical science and earned his professional degree in Nigeria. And he came to the U.S. and he earned his license in 1994 as a registered pharmacist in California. And I always have so much respect from people from other countries.
Mm-hmm.
One is that they speak more than one language.
Yeah.
And I'm not very good at Spanish or Italian or Latin.
I'm great at Latin. But
you're great at Latin.
But just no one speaks it. So that's why I never have to prove that
I'm great at it. I need you to do the deciphering of things in Rome for me. You know, little etchings.
the old things?
That's right. And that's my life. You know, I'm 61, so old things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so basically the stuff that's lying around in your garage
from your
childhood is covered in Latin.
It's your childhood. A lot of stuff.
Nope, I threw it all away.
But he worked in the major chains as a pharmacist, which surprised me when he said how he did that. And he said it through an agency. So apparently there's an agency that, you know, CVS says, you know what, we need a pharmacist for this week or this month or maybe, you know, we have an opening and we need a pharmacist to be there. They call this agency, which I didn't even know they had those before.
Yeah.
Which makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. I mean, hundreds of pharmacies in a metro area. They need to sort of have a better organizational way of finding them.
Yeah. It's not like standing on the corner of the street sign.
Yeah. Putting in a classified ad.
Yeah. But he lived in Contra Costa County, and so that was right next to Vallejo. That kind of goes with the Berkeley and that little bit farther south and east kind of. And so he knew Vallejo well. So kind of kept his eyes on it. 10 years ago, the economic situation went south.
Yeah, in downturn.
And so, you know, we know that it was in 2016, after that, the Navy, which was been historically there on the West Coast in Vallejo, very big thing, left. That was the number one Navy repair and building yard on the West Coast, Vallejo.
Oh, gosh.
Been there for a long time. Long
Where
time.
Where did it move to?
I don't know. It moved to Des Moines.
what?
No, I have no idea, but it's just that was a major
employer. Could you get a river from Des Moines to one of the Great Lakes and then eventually out to the sea?
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah, that'd be great trying to get your Navy ships out.
That'd be terrible.
So it's, you know, this town was suffering because a lot of people that were working there, and that's the main thing, is that when the major employer leaves an area,
it can ghost town a place.
It's right. It's really rough. And businesses started to close.
That's where most of the ghost towns came from mining businesses closing.
Yeah. And the grocery store they even had there, Safeway was there, closed down, moved out.
Oh, gosh.
There's not enough people. So in the historic part of Vallejo, they didn't even have a grocery store. Couldn't even buy food there. You had to drive miles to get food or something.
Like that was living rurally.
Important. Or also, there was no pharmacy there. And so now we're talking about health-related things, maybe very serious health-related things, and you have to drive a long way in an emergency. So that part of Vallejo, and maybe even the greater part of the town, the area, was really struggling back here. And he, he kept his eye on it. He watched all this happening. And he said, this town has a great history. I mean, it does. I mean, it goes back to 1800s. Mm-hmm. Great history. They have a ferry there that we talked about the last episode that you can take. That ferry's been there for a long time. Buildings there are over 100 years old.
Yeah.
And it's really cool. There's some pictures on realmingbusinesspodcast.com of some of the buildings and an old clock they have right there in downtown. So he looked at that and said, they can use a pharmacy. And he went to he went around and kind of checked out things, kind of looked how businesses were coming back, maybe, what the history has to show in this main drag on Georgia Street. And so he opened it up, the pharmacy, being one of the first businesses to move back in. Now, I'm not saying there wasn't any businesses down there, but there were
He was a pioneer of the economic resurgence. Yeah,
and the beginning was tough. As we was talking about starting a small business is always tough, but when you're starting a small business in an economically depressed area, it's even tougher.
In an economically depressed time,
right. Well, he did this in 2016, 2 years ago. So even though they never recovered from the 10 years ago,
a lot of places just got worse. Starting to recover,
But the community was very receptive. You could see what he was starting to do, and he had faith in their town. And that's really the best advertisement you can get, is people's frame of mind, is that they look at you and say, I really like what you're doing, and I'm going to do what I can to support you. And it started to build. And not too long ago, a major clinic chain, like Clinica, opened up 5 clinics. And they served hundreds of people, I think he said, every week in these 5 clinics, which, of course, brings in pharmaceutical orders, I would think. And so that's another thing that's happening of people starting to move in, businesses starting to get more faith in an area. And in fact, I was there
You're asking the wrong guy. I don't even know what the date is.
I was there 2 days ago, and May of 2018. And the next day, which was yesterday, he received a certificate from the mayor, and it's 2-year anniversary.
Oh, that's great.
And he said that that meant so much to him because he felt like, yes, people do appreciate the hard work and the risk that I took for this community. And he's become a pillar in this community. I mean, everybody knows who he is.
It's great. Frequents his business.
But he also told me something very interesting that I did not know about pharmacies. First of all, having a pharmacy, especially an independent one, is not a cakewalk. It's tough. It's tough to do that because you're competing against bigger places.
Mm-hmm.
But he's in an area where he's the main place. He's the main thing. But you have to know so much, not just about pharmaceutical medical information, about medicines and drugs and all these different things.
How much you subscribe, yeah.
But you got to know about the insurance too. And this is stuff we talk about in small businesses. The technician part is the pharmaceutical part, knowing the medicine stuff. Then you have the managerial part of
just running the business, yeah.
And then you have the entrepreneurial part of creating the business. And the managerial part is also part of, in this case, knowing how insurance works. So he gave me some examples. He says, first of all, insurance dictates what he can charge.
Yeah, because they won't pay more than a certain amount. That's right. The collective bargaining thing.
Right. And so they will basically say, you can charge X amount of dollars for this kind of medication. And he says, for example, he says, it costs me a fixed cost of $12.50 to fill one prescription that's empty. And well, in other words, not the cost of the medicine, but just
the admin.
Just the administration and the typing out a label and
buying all those little pill bottles.
But insurance will pay him 50 cents sometimes.
Oh, my gosh.
So you see where...
So you're losing money on some medication.
Yeah. So he says sometimes, you know, it's give and take, but he's got to always constantly try to budget, but it's very difficult in this industry. So if anybody that's listening to us is looking to get in the pharmacy business, think about this. It's very important. You really got to be on your toes.
I mean, it happens with every business, right? There's, mm-hmm. you have to look at your costs mm-hmm. for certain products you provide.
Yeah.
And see, I mean, like restaurants, right? The uh-huh. food costs are a lot of money.
Yeah.
But there's a small profit margin. But mm-hmm. drink costs, if soda or what
alcohol
have you, is usually a big profit margin.
Right.
So it's like movie theaters.
You have lost leaders.
And the movie, yeah.
Yes.
The movie doesn't make them a lot of money, but the concessions do and all that sort of stuff.
So I was at the historic part of the town 2 days ago, and they had their farmer's market. And the street was packed.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of people down there. So, and new businesses were opening up. Like we did a podcast last week on the vinyl record and pinball business.
Yeah.
They just opened on May 5th.
Okay.
This month.
So it's downtown. Like this downtown is really re-blooming.
Yeah.
And, you know, people are resettling them.
Yeah. And he was excited about it. You know, he was telling me about that. Yeah. You know, this place is going to be opening up and this place is going to be opening up. And I could see why he could get a personal satisfaction to this, because he was one of the people that took the risk to walk into a place that was really struggling.
Yeah, without him and other people like him, the mm-hmm. economic resurgence may have become a ghost town.
Right, or taken another 10 years.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of people that are suffering and losing jobs and losing their homes and things like that. So, you know, people like him have a very important part in a community. It's the risk takers. And again, we like to emphasize, we're not talking about risk takers like throwing dice.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about risk takers that do their homework and understand the area, understand the people, and then take the calculated risk, not the blind risk.
To learn more about the Capital City Pharmacy, go to www.capcitypharmacy.com. Like Captain America, like they call
That's
him,
right.
Cap.
Cap. That's right.
You're listening to Rambling Business. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Rick E. Norris and Accountancy Corporation. If you'd like to get the full experience, check out our website for videos, music, pictures, takeaways, and travel tips. www.ramblingbusiness.com. Now it's time for our tax tales, where we tell you about strange and unusual taxes from the past and the present.
Tax tales.
Woo! And since we're talking about drugs mm-hmm. specifically, we'll talk about how drugs and insulin count towards medical expenses in Montana. In Montana specifically, you can itemize deductions, and drugs mm-hmm. such as insulin and mm-hmm. you know mm-hmm. normal prescribed mm-hmm. drugs can be deducted like mm-hmm. any other itemized deduction that you mm-hmm. would have. However, there's one exception, which is medical marijuana, mm-hmm. Which you can't deduct the cost of buying or growing marijuana that you use as medicine in Montana, mm-hmm. Because they're backwards in this case, right?
Yeah, well, see,
they're treating one medicine different than a different medicine. Yeah.
As an accountant, the question I would ask is, well, can I deduct it as an entertainment cost?
That would be interesting, but no. If you're saying you're using it as medicine, you can't share medicine with other people.
Oh,
right.
Well,
unless it's over the counter, Advil or.
Well, I don't have any clients in Montana anyway, so I won't be able to worry about that.
Yeah, in California, you can probably starting this year write it off as an entertainment expense because it's legal, baby. Now it's time for our travel tip, where we tell you what fun things you can do around the Vallejo area.
If you are a geocache enthusiast, now some of you are going there going, a what? Geo what?
Yeah.
Geocache is
so if you're between if you're between 61 and and 45.
There's a lot of people.
You're no, there's a lot of people. I'm joking. Yeah. I'm just saying your demographic because you love him.
Well, no. I don't even do him anymore, but I used to. I used to do a lot. Maybe I'll pick it up again. But if you have a smartphone or a GPS, there are things that are hidden all over the world in little containers that you can go find like a treasure hunt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you just go on these websites or whatever.
And you would actually log it in when you find it.
Yeah.
And so the city of Vallejo kind of picked that up. And they have 18 geocaches located in historical landmarks in Vallejo. And if you find 16, you earn a free Visit Vallejo geocoin at the visitor center. So it's, you know, it's something the family can do.
And you can use that to buy a Neo Geo. The old.
Buy a video. Car. I don't know. But so if you've never done geocaching, check it out. You can get an app on your phone. Just try it once and see if you like it, especially if you have a family and kids, you know, 5 years old, 8 years old, 12 years old.
Yeah, it's like having an Easter egg hunt all year. Yeah. Wherever you go.
And it's really a lot of fun. But I really have to tip my hat to Vallejo, who really is trying to be on the cutting edge of technology and having something that would help people learn about the historical sites and get them into town so they could get a pharmaceutical order, yeah. Right?
And get that geo coin.
Yeah, get that geo coin.
Now it's time for our takeaways, where we tell you what steps you can take to implement what we've been talking about on the podcast. The first thing to think about is you have to know the community where you want to start your business. Dr. Mitu lived and worked in an adjacent county and knew the economic landscape from visiting there. Mm-hmm. Because you don't want to, you know, jump in with both feet in a town you've never been to and then realize, oh, there was a pharmacy two blocks over and I didn't.
And we've seen that when we did podcasts on towns in resort areas,
mm-hmm. yeah,
where they said that people would come in during the high time of visitors mm-hmm. and they say, oh, I want to open up a business here. And they don't come back during the low time and realize that how much of a struggle
it is. So if you have the opportunity, whether it's starting a business or moving somewhere, mm-hmm. Which is often the same thing.
Yeah.
Go there in each season. It's like if you don't live with snow, it would be hard to move to somewhere with snow and not.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah.
Not
Chicago.
Chicago, yeah.
Second, know both the technical and operational side of your business before jumping off. In the pharmacy business, you must not only know the medical knowledge, but also the insurance, the business aspects, running a business. So it's very important. And sometimes you could learn that from other pharmacists. Or if you're going into another company, learn from other companies that you may know in another city or town that's not your competitor. Or there may even be classes that you can take too. So check it out. It's very important.
The third thing to think about is if you're betting on an economically depressed area to rebound, do your due diligence and determine what measures the city council and business communities are doing to turn it around. Because they're going to be your partners in sort of a pioneering, resettling sort of spirit. So get together with them to see what benefits you can get.
And you know, what I have found in all of our travels, and it's probably not the case in Vallejo, but is that sometimes they don't get along.
Yeah.
And like business, the business community don't get along and they can't get a cohesive strategy together because some of the people don't like each other.
Yeah, it's not just the economics, it's the personalities of the people who are in charge to make sure that you can be buddy-buddy.
And the last thing is always have a plan A, B, and C because things change and you got to be able to be flexible on moving in different directions if your strategy is not working right. And keep your eyes open because you may be going on plan A and you're just sold on that and you may take that down with a sinking ship. You know, you might have to switch and go to plan B before it's financially too late and puts you in a bind.
Now it's time to answer a question for one of our listeners. We have an email from Robin who says, is there a central site where I can go to for all answers to my small business questions?
Besides our site?
Yeah. Throwing a plug there.
Yeah, that's right, a plug. And CPA site, my CPA site, which I have a lot of articles, mm-hmm. is try the Small Business Administration, which I guess is an agency of the U.S. government. I guess it's called an agency. Mm-hmm. It's a one place where there's things like small business forums and a lot of questions and answers that get pitched all the time and answered in a blog format. So you could just spend a lot of time on there learning about business. So that's very important to try that out.
Yeah, and it's something you should do if you're thinking of starting one or changing your business. With how much free information there is out there,
yeah,
it's your fault if you don't learn it, basically. Mm-hmm. That is all we have for this week. Feel free to check out some of our past podcasts where we went to such exciting places as Maui, Martha's Vineyard, not Martha Stewart's Vineyard, New Orleans, and Vancouver, Canada, home of delicious poutine. Our map on ramblingbusiness.com shows our travels, and you can click on the pins to go to any of those places. But till then, I'm Brandon.
And this is Rick, and thank you for letting us get in your business no matter where it is. Our music and podcast was produced by my son, Devin S. Norris. For all your music, composition, and podcast needs, check out devinsnorris.com.